For one who has implicit faith in both Lord Krishna and the spiritual master, all the purports of the Vedic literatures are gradually revealed to him one after the other. So we heard a little bit about Madhavendra Puri, how he was a very significant person in our Sampradaya. He bridged a gap. He was a bridge between a gap. The followers of Madhvacharya worship only Krishna. And that also in a mood of reverence, slightly different than the Lakshmi Narayan worship of the Ramanuja Sampradaya, but nevertheless it is not nearly as full of ecstatic devotion as the Gaudiya Sampradaya. So Madhavendra Puri introduced this ecstatic emotion, and the worship of Radha and Krishna was introduced, and our disciplic succession Sampradaya Vihinashe Mantraste Nishpala Mata. There is only one guru. There are not two gurus or 10 gurus or 11 gurus. That was very funny. After Prabhupada left, there were 11 gurus. And at Mayapur festival, they used to have 11 Vyasasans for Guru Puja, and you know, they were all being worshipped at the same time, and it was very, in some ways it was funny. But I thought even funnier was when you had 3 gurus at a temple. So, instead of singing Sri Guru Charana Padma, you could sing Three Gurus Charana Padma. But there's only one guru. And that's Lord Krishna. The Protestants are right. But we have to see Krishna. Krishna reveals himself by coming down through disciplic succession. He himself says, evam parampara pratam imam rajashayo vidu. I can be understood through the parampara. Imam vivasvate yogam prokvalam aham argyam. It started in the present millennium from Vivaswan, who spoke to Manu, who spoke to Ikshvaku in that way. We also heard a few weeks ago how Jambavan in the Ramayana, Hanuman and his group of monkeys were searching for Sita, and they were wandering in the south, and they were actually the biggest group, some 30,000 monkeys, as well as Hanuman, Jambavan, Nila, Angada, many of the biggest monkey leaders, who were all demigods, who had incarnated to assist Lord Ramchandra in his pastimes. But Jambavan appeared at the time of Lord Brahma. He appeared from Lord Brahma's eye. And that's a very, very funny, interesting story. But anyway, he had been there since the time of creation. So he had seen everything throughout all the different days of Brahma and years and life of Brahma, very long time. So many millenniums came and went. So they were looking for Sita, and they got lost in a desert. It was once very verdant, very lush and green, but the forest had been cursed by one rishi, and so it had become like a desert. And they were wandering in that desert for 3 weeks. They hadn't eaten anything, they hadn't drunk anything. And they were really exhausted, and finally they came to a small mountain. There was a huge cave inside. And they saw the cave, and Hanuman said, let's go, let's see what's in the cave. And everybody else said, well, I don't know, it's dark in there, and we don't see any light, and there may be rakshasas and demons in there. I don't know if we can go in there. Hanuman said, no, no, let's go. So finally, Jambavan said something, so they all decided to go. Hanuman started in. And because they were monkeys and bears, Jambavan was a bear. They all had tails. So everybody grabbed onto somebody's tail and then walked like that, holding onto the tails. It's quite an interesting tale that I'm telling. And anyway, they got in. Many yojanas, or not yojanas, about 80 kilometers or something in. They saw birds coming out. So the birds had some kind of air to breathe, and the birds also had water on their wings, so they knew there was water in there. They went in, and they came out the other side of the cave, and there was this beautiful garden. Incredibly beautiful with trees and fruits and flowers. And it was almost like the heavenly planets. And they saw a building, a beautiful building there. And so some of the monkeys were thinking, I'm hungry, let's go for the fruit. And others were saying, no, it may be just a trap, we better be careful. But they saw in the building there was a yogini there. And she was performing tapasya. So they decided to approach her and ask her what was happening. So they sent Hanuman because he was a sweet talker. Very charming when he wanted to be. So he approached the yogini and asked her who she was, and she said, who are you? So then he explained, she explained who she was and what had happened and how she had come there. And they weren't sure whether to believe her or not. And then John Bhavan said, no, it's true, it's true. And then they asked him how he knew, and he kind of mumbled something. He wasn't very clear on what he was saying. But then they realized that Jambavan had been through many, many Ramayans. And he'd been in that garden many, many times before, so he knew all about it. So the message is coming down, and the Bhagavad Gita that was spoken to Vivaswan may differ in some details, obviously it does, than the Bhagavad Gita that was spoken to Arjuna, but the essential teaching was there. And unless you receive that essential teaching, anyone can memorize stories. That's easy. But unless you capture the essence, and unless you come in contact with the energy of the Lord, just like we were talking about Nisringadev. And there's a Nisringa Maha Mantra. Now, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was a very big devotee of Nisringadev. And somehow he was initiated in by Nisringadev in this mantra. So he gave it to Bhakti Siddhanta, to his son. Bhakti Siddhanta gave it to 10 of his sannyasis. And like that, it has come to some sannyasis in ISKCON. Anybody can chant the mantra, but if you get initiation, just like the Maha Mantra, everybody knows the Maha Mantra. Anyone can chant. But there's something when there's a blessing. Divyam Gyanam, okay, transcendental knowledge. You can also get Divyam Gyanam from a Siksha Guru. And that's also one kind of initiation. There are many instances, I know some anyway, of devotees who, Shyamananda, for example, he had one spiritual master who gave him the name Dukhi Krishnadas. But later on, he was sent to Vrindavan and he studied under Jiva Goswami, and Jiva Goswami gave him the name of Shyamananda, and practically was like his guru, more than his original Diksha guru, who was bona fide. But the beginning was there. But the point is the essence, the blessing. Yemi Bhakta Jana Partha. Krishna reveals himself to his devotee, and his devotee carries Krishna in his heart. How does that song go? Dite Krishna Para Bengali. You have Krishna, and you can give him to me. Anybody remember them?
Krishna
Saitamar. Krishna Saitamar, yeah. That's such a beautiful song. Krishna say tomar. Tomar means yours. Krishna is yours. Krishna dite, give. Krishna dite, for give Krishna to me. He's yours, give him to me. Please. So, there was a nice article, wonderful article, I think I referred to it before, which it appeared in BTG, Tract of Guided Magazine, issue number 28 or 29, something like that, 30. It was written, by Achyutananda, but he received it while sitting in Navadvip at Sridhar Swami's ashram, Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Swami. It was a lecture he was giving, and he was saying how great acharyas are rising and submerging in the ocean of transcendental nectar. So great acharyas are appearing in our sampradaya again and again. And there's absolutely no doubt that Srila Prabhupada is one of those acharyas. Srila Prabhupada is Krishna as spiritual master. But he is more than spiritual master, but he is founder, acharya of ISKCON. There will be many spiritual masters in the future. Some of them will be educated, some of them will be charismatic, some of them will be very simple, but pure. Many different varieties will come. A worldwide movement will have to be many spiritual masters in every country. But there will only be one Srila Prabhupada. And we should understand that we are pushing on this movement and practically living by the facilities created by Srila Prabhupada. His books, his blueprint for preaching, his leading disciples, everything, it was all his mercy. And there is a verse in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's been paraphrased to the tune of, "Your mercy is all that I am made of." So, in some ways, every spiritual master relies upon his spiritual master. And in that regard, he is bringing people to his spiritual master. So he's like a Hrithik. But unfortunately, somehow or other, due to envy or offenses, they have taken a valid idea and misapplied it. Because there will be succeeding generations of spiritual masters. And all spiritual masters are, in one sense, the same. Guru Tattva means Guru Tattva. Just like Brahman, there is Jiva Brahman and there's Para Brahman, different categories of Brahman. So, just like there is Kanishka, Madhyam, Uttam, even within Uttam, there are different categories. There's Kanishka, Uttam, Madhyam, Uttam, Uttam, Uttapam, Mahabhagavat, and Madhyam, Uttam, Madhyam, generally wants to preach, either they're at that level or they appear to be at that level of Madhyam Adhikari, those who preach. Some come from the Uttam Adhikari platform down, and they preach, and some come up, and they preach, and as long as they are following in the footsteps of Mahabharata, then they are non-different. They're given the same teaching, they're liberated, and they can liberate others. Not to the same degree as the Mahabharata, but they can do it. But we should never make a mistake, and this is very, very important. It's very important. We should never lose sight of the fact that Srila Prabhupada is very special. And we have to keep in mind Srila Prabhupada is not God, the Supreme Being. Srila Prabhupada is not omniscient. He's not Chetra Sarva Ketreshu Bharata Ketra Ketra Gaya. There's the field and the knower of the field. So Krishna is the knower, Sarva Ketreshu, is the knower in all the fields. The spiritual master can know things if Krishna wants him to know, and he's more likely to guide someone like Srila Prabhupada than a lesser preacher, a less powerful preacher. So there's two things. We should never make Prabhupada God, but we should also understand that he is very important in our sampradaya, just like Madhvacharya, Ramanujacharya. How many of you know three people in the Madhva line? Three of their acharyas. Give me three names. Anybody can do that? Can you? Anybody?
Disciples
of Madhvacharya? Yeah. Dvaitacharya? Huh? Dvaitacharya? No. There's Lakshmi, Pati, Tirtha, there's this, that, you know, there's different acharyas, but we hardly know them. We know Madhvacharya. It doesn't mean that there weren't significant preachers after Madhvacharya. In fact, there were a few which broke the Madhva line in two. They actually split it. And that was due to Samaya. And then there was a reformer in the 18th century who brought everything back together for the most part. In the Ramanuja Sampradaya, do we know three or four disciples of Ramanuja, successive acharya? No. We know Ramanuja. What to speak of Vishnu Swami or Nimbarkacharya? We hardly know where they came from and what they do. We do know Nimbarka, and we know a little bit about Vishishta Dvait, Dvaita Dvait, Shuddha Dvait, a little bit about their philosophy. So Srila Prabhupada is in that category. He was that devotee that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur spoke about. Very soon, a very great preacher will come, and he will travel all over the world, and he will make thousands of disciples and renovate the Gaudiya Sampradaya. He will spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. Prabhupada was predicted. So, my first meeting with Prabhupada was one like that, where I saw him in a mystical way. And, except for a few hallucinogenic journeys, I was not very, I'm a science background. You know, I'm a computer background, mathematics. Not so much accustomed to, you know, blind belief or whatever. Blind faith. Although the group was pretty good, blind faith, anyway. when I saw Prabhupada, it was, oh gosh. You know, it was a bubble. We were all in the bubble and Prabhupada was outside the bubble. I could see it. To this day, it's, you know, the vision is in my head. And he would walk and the bubble would recede. And as soon as I swayed a little bit in my faith, the bubble popped. I didn't see him in a special position. He was just another devotee who was coughing, forgetting Sanskrit verses sometimes. I brought him right down to the ground by my filthy mind. But he was special. Other devotees had experiences like Vishnujan where he went to see Prabhupada and Prabhupada was, he asked Prabhupada, what is it like to love Krishna? Prabhupada said, you can't understand. Yes, what does it feel like when you love Krishna? You know, you get a tingling in your legs or what happens? Jump up and down. Prabhupada said, you can't understand. And Prabhupada closed his eyes and the tears began to shoot out. They were getting wet from Prabhupada's tears. They didn't know what to do. They just backed off to their vacancies and left the room. Prabhupada was in such an ecstatic state. And this happened a couple of times. So many things Prabhupada did, mystical things, which can't be duplicated. There's nobody in ISKCON who has these kind of experiences. Sometimes we find, and it's not so bad, but sometimes we find disciples, you know, my guru went off into the forest for 3 months, meditating and chanting. He was living just on tulsi leaves, and you know, they tell stories. There were some stories like that about Bhakti Siddhanta. But most of us, or maybe all of us, who am I to say, we're just trying to do our job, and we're competent to do our job to help you become Krishna conscious. And we are capable to act as transparent mediums who can take your service and give it to Krishna. So you have an obligation to serve your Vartman guru. In fact, we used to call in ISKCON, the gurus were called Vartmanacharya. It's present living guru. Well, we know that Prabhupada is living through sound. Prabhupada is living through his love for devotees who are sincerely trying their very best. And only you know whether you're sincerely trying. We're trying their very best to push on his movement. Who are, as Prabhupada once commented about the six Goswamis, you know, we hear that they were in Vrindavan and we all know that they only ate and slept and bathed and everything in about an hour and a half or 2 hours a day. So like, what did they do in 22 hours, you know? Well, they had a few Krishna book readings, and what do they do the rest of the time? Well, they were actually preaching and organizing, and they were constantly agitating, Prabhupada said, they were constantly agitating their minds. How can we save the fallen conditioned souls? What can we do? What will work? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu suggested that everyone can be liberated except for the Pashubnat. Pashubnat, not animals, no. Pashubnat means the meat eaters. So that was Lord Chaitanya's statement. But we should try to be more merciful than Lord Chaitanya, because we ourselves were meat eaters, many of us, or most of us. Some of us turned vegetarian before we became devotees. But the point is that we're preaching to a predominantly meat-eating world. Food for real people. Real food for real people. That was the advertising in America. So we have to devise a way, we have to use our imagination. Using your imagination is good when it's dovetailed in Krishna service. We have to think of unique ways to inject into the dull brain of materialistic men a few cc's of Krishna consciousness. Just like a child is sick. Child has to take medicine. The medicine is bitter. But what do? Take it. No. You crush it up, put a little honey with it, a little jam. See, some medicine is junk. It's junk. And it tastes good. Mommy likes it. So, we have to find the ways. You have to find the ways to help Srila Prabhupada. We are Prabhupada Nugas, and certainly telling people about Krishna is difficult. We have to tell them about Krishna, but the ninth offense. What is the ninth offense of chanting the holy name?
To talk to faithless men about the glories.
To preach the glories of the holy name to the faithless persons. So we can't, hey, listen, I want to tell you about chapter 34, the 10th canto of Rasa. It's really nice to hear about it over here. You can't do that to a new person. Can't do it to an old person. But we can't tell them about Prabhupada, because he's somebody they'll understand. He was a university student, Sanskrit, philosophy, chemistry. He had a very good job. He had a pharmacy. He had a family, number of children. Gradually, as he got older, he renounced the material world. He traveled, he sacrificed, he wrote books. He was very ecstatic. He's in the Guinness Book of World Records. We can tell people about Srila Prabhupada. You can't tell them about me. I would be real embarrassed. My past. He did this, he did this. Oh, we have to stop here because we can't go any farther in his life, But Srila Prabhupada, you can take all the way back to zero. There was never a time in his life when he forgot Krishna. So we have to understand that everything that we are doing is by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, and we have to pray for his mercy, all of us, from the top to the bottom. We have to pray for his mercy, and in this way we'll advance. And we also have to remember that he is a jiva soul who practiced sadhana bhakti, who was a very practical devotee of Krishna, who was steady, who was full of enthusiasm, who was patient, determined, and he succeeded. And we can also succeed. We should never doubt for a minute that if we apply ourselves and Mahajana Yena Gatha Sapanda, we follow his footsteps, really follow his footsteps. I'm not talking about getting the same results. Results are so less important. Just like we heard Tom Krishna say when he was describing the Prabhupada, that, you know, if we do this much, we can understand that we'll get this much money. And Prabhupada's immediate reaction was, don't worry about the money. Don't worry about the results. That's given by Krishna. So it's not about getting results. That's not our main concern. Results should come. And if they don't come, then we can try different ways. But the point is to keep that spirit. And we can get that spirit from those whose lives have been touched by Srila Prabhupada. But the only qualification that they have is that their lives were touched by Srila Prabhupada. Now, Srila Prabhupada, you could say, got everything from his spiritual master. To a degree, it's true. But he actually got most of everything from his father. He learned book publication from a spiritual master, but he imbibed or developed his devotional spirit from his father. So it could be anyone who inspires us. Really, it's got to be there within ourselves also. We have to want, you can lead a horse to water, but you cannot force the horse to drink. And we can attract people to come here, and we should make the environment so nice that people will be attracted once they get here. It should be heaven on earth, properly called Hare Krishna Land. He gave us our mission theme, heaven on earth. That's what we wanted Hare Krishna Land to be. And this should be in Ljubljana, heaven on earth. When people come here, men, women, children, everybody should feel welcome. Like we throw out a red carpet for everybody. They're shocked. Oh, there's so much fuss over me. But ultimately, they have to choose. We are independent. And we have to make choices. All we have, this is all we have, is choice. We have to make choices. We should not be afraid of making choices, because that's all we have. And we should choose to follow Srila Prabhupada, no matter what happens in the material world. Don't worry about the material world. It's going to go up and down. There's going to be years of prosperity and optimism, and there's going to be years of disparity, years of pessimism, years of failure in the material world amongst the materialistic people. There's going to be ups and downs, I guarantee it. If it's going down now, it'll bottom out and go up again sometime. This is going up and down. And if you base your happiness on the ups and downs in the material world, hey, you don't have to go to Disney World. You can go on with your own personal roller coaster, you know? Up and down, around,
coaster.
If you've ever been on a roller coaster, you know how it's very frightening. And sometimes a lot of people lose their stomach. So, okay, and now, maybe there's some things that we need to discuss in this area. Maybe you all agree with everything I said, but maybe again there's other people that you know who have doubts, and on their behalf you want to ask some question. Otherwise, I mean, nice to get to bed early. Yes.
When Srila Prabhupada was a Vipassana man, he worked very hard to maintain the standing. And actually, also he was preaching also, but actually his preaching work started when he accepted sannyasa. So how can we expect nowadays that Vipassana's be effective preacher when so much energy is needed to put in maintaining his family and everything else?
Okay, everybody heard the question? Shall I repeat it? Repeat? Okay, correct me if I'm wrong, but his question was that Srila Prabhupada, during his grihastha years, had to work very hard to maintain his family. His preaching really started when he renounced and went to Vrindavan and etc. The rest is history. So, how are we to understand that our grihasthas can become effective preachers when they will also have to spend so much time and expend so much energy in maintaining their griha? Okay? Well, first of all, the Prabhupada was always influencing people. Right from his early years, he took out a Rath Yatra parade when he was just a 5 or 6 year old boy in his, on the street that he lived on in Calcutta. He was preaching. And all the way along through school, he never ate meat, he never drank, he never smoked cigarettes. And he learned Radhanga and Harmonium, and he did so many things in preparation and also preaching. When he was a student, he went with his friend to see Bhakti Siddhanta, and at that time Prabhupada was about 25 years old, 26 years old, and he was convinced about Krishna consciousness, and then he went to Allahabad, and he had a pharmacy there, and many Gaudiya Math householders used to come in and have regular satsang in this pharmacy. Satsang in the sense that they sit around talking about spiritual subjects. Dr. O.B.L. Kapoor, who was a professor at the university, used to come there. He told stories about Prabhupada. The next story, you've probably already heard it many times, but once they were sitting around talking, and jokingly, someone said, Abhai, Abhai Babu, businessman, Babu, Abhai Babu, you are a chemist. Why don't you mix a formula by which we can take the decoction and block it? Oh God. And so Prabhupada said very seriously, he said, I know the formula. I just haven't been able to mix it yet. And then he had piqued everyone's curiosity, and so he said, what's the formula? And Prabhupada said, Trinada Pisani Chena Torora Pisani Shnana Amayana Manadena Kirtanya Sadhavi. He was preaching all along. Everybody knows that verse, more humble than a blade of grass, more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and ready to offer all respects to others without expecting any respect in return or for oneself. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name constantly. So that's one thing. Then another thing is that we are fortunate because we can take advantage of a period of time, like a week or a weekend or whatever it was. And then he would go back. Because he was a businessman, he had his own business by this time, and he could decide his own hours and time of it. So if he had enough money, then he could put more time into his spiritual activities. And somehow or other, we should have the faith that if we endeavor sincerely, that Krishna will support us. Yogakshem Ahamyaham, Ahamyaham. Nanyas Chintayanta Lamya Janapar Upasate. Teshan Nitya Bhyuktanam. Someone who is constantly worshipping me. Nitya Bhyuktanam. Constantly worshipping me. I take care of him. Whatever he lacks, I provide it, and whatever he has, I preserve it. He gets enough to keep him together physically and even psychologically. Sometimes people, if they go below a certain poverty level, their mind freaks out, you know. But Krishna gives us enough to keep us going. Prabhupada said, Krishna gave me, tested me. Krishna tested me by taking everything away. And Krishna tested me by giving me everything. So, Prabhupada also studied for 3-4 hours a day. And he was making plans for preaching. Planning for preaching is also preaching. So, somehow or other, Krishna maintained him. He did not starve. Sometimes he was very poor. Yasyaham pranami harishe tadanam shanai. Hey, if you want to get rich, don't worship Krishna, worship Shiva. But then you won't get Mukunda. You won't get Mukti. You won't get freedom from the cycle of birth and death. You get Lord Shiva. I wouldn't want to go to his planet as a ghost or, you know, whatever. You get some material facility. But another consideration is, it is the duty of grihasthas to earn money and to donate that money for a good cause. Now, Mayapur was just at a seminar with a teacher, and he's not even a Vaishnava or a Gaudiya or a Hindu, but he was quoting from the Bible and different scriptures that everybody in his course, if they wanted to enhance their lives on every level, they should tithe. They should give 1/10 of everything they earn, either to sadhus or to bona fide charities, or both. So, in ISKCON, we have even higher standard, 50%. Okay, it may not practically be possible, but Kolavecha Sridhar did it, and all he did was make plantain cups, but he lived simply. So it is possible, theoretically. Practically, we may not be psychologically prepared for it, so it's not a major disqualification, but it is definitely a philosophical subject for consideration. Are we doing as much as we can? Grihasthas definitely should try to make money. Now, if they are at peace with themselves by virtue of their morning sadhana, by virtue of their controlling their sex life,
by virtue of their putting aside time for study of Shastra. In other words, planning their day so that they don't neglect their Krishna consciousness. In the hours that they do work, they'll have a reason for working, they'll get inspired by Krishna, and they will be able to get results by which they can support the ashram, get the deities some beautiful dresses instead of white cloth, white jewelry, white, you know, everything. Nice, very beautiful, but could be better. I mean, I, unfortunately, or whatever, come from Bombay, and our standard there is very high. Now, at one time, devotees could hardly afford money to eat. In the early days, we were preaching, and here our Swami and I get back at night, and there was nothing left for us. We'd go out and buy some crackers and some amul cheese, and that was our dinner. He was very peaceful. I was mad as hell. But Krishna can't take our money away. That's his choice. His mercy can be that he takes it away. But if we give it away before he takes it away, he'll be satisfied. In other words, the Grihastha, brahmacharis really aren't supposed to do business. A good example, well, there are many relative examples in India, but a good working example is the Radha Gopinath temple. The devotees there don't even make life members, the brahmacharis. That's how much money collection they do. Of course, I don't necessarily agree with that, because Prabhupada personally taught us to make life members, so what am I supposed to do? But all the early brahmacharis and sannyasis made life members. But that's preaching also. The Prabhupada said that preaching without some result is useless. So, you know, I would go and I would meet a big man. I would hate to, you know, just, we have this membership program, can you give a donation, you get this free, you get this, you get this. I hated that spiel. You know spiel? It's a,
German word.
It's a German word, but it means a line, it means, you know, just like a mantra almost. So I would preach to the man, you know, and quote, I practice my Sanskrit on him. He was a businessman, you know, taking phone calls every 3 minutes, you know, but I didn't care if he was listening, I would just practice my verses on him. And I was like, you should become a devotee of Krishna, you know. I was trying to pretend that I was thinking that he would become a devotee of Krishna. And then after a certain time, alright. So we had this membership program. Anywhere you go in the world, you get 3 days free in our beautiful guest houses, and you get all these books and sign on the dotted line and tax exempt. So there should always be some kind of a result, and that does figure into our formula. It's got to be there, result oriented to some degree. But I said, we don't worry about the result, but we don't worry about it to the point that it becomes everything. But we should not go away either. Here, take this free, take these books. Oh, it's all right, don't give me money, I'm not interested in results. You know, it's not like that either. We used to distribute free BTGs and we had $40,000 in debt. Prabhupada was furious. He said, who told you to give them away free? I never said that. $40,000 in debt in 69, 70, that was a lot of money. It's a lot today, but it's much more then. At least three or four times more. Inflation is
tripled and quadrupled. So, grihasthas should make money and use it for the service of the Lord, and Prabhupada compared it to Hanuman and the other followers of Lord Ram getting Sita from Ravan and putting her back in the service of Ram, because Sita is another name, is Lakshmi, and Ravan was considered to be, you know, like a demon, a karmi, and they're using money or Lakshmi for their nefarious purposes, for their materialistic purposes. And so the devotees get Lakshmi and put her back in the service of Ram. So if a grihastha does make money and uses it for the temple purpose, maybe hard for some people to understand, but the philosophy is correct. It is just as glorious as if you were decorating the deities or doing swaha, doing a bhajya, or doing a big harinam kirtan. You're paying for the sankirtan band. Otherwise, you wouldn't be able to go out on sankirtan. You're paying for, you know, new altar or this or that. So the grihastha's duty is very, very important. And they should not get frustrated and think, oh, this is material life. It's not. If it's done dharma virudha, according to religious principles. If sex life is purified, then making money is an easy one. That can be purified. And there's probably some other answers if I thought about it long enough. But maybe I didn't answer your question. I don't know. I'm an expert at that. Speaking for hours and not actually answering the question. Okay. Any other questions? Okay. You students out of duty or?
No, I'm interested. Which of Srila Prabhupada's qualities impressed you the most and why?
Which, oh, I think I've said that many times. Whenever he gave us some work to do, if we asked him questions, sometimes he would answer and give more specific guidelines, but many times he would say, do the needful. Either those exact words or a little bit different, but the same thing. Do what's necessary. Use your intelligence. You have a brain. Maybe small, but you have one. You have intelligence. Use it. Whatever you have, every little bit of whatever you have, every jewel of energy that you have, give it to Krishna and you will live forever. You'll never die. Give it all to Krishna. Give it all to Prabhupada. He'll guide you back to home. So, do the needful. I love that. It was so, it was like, it's the Brahma Sutra, you know, it was like, it said everything. Devotees should ask him more questions, and that may have been part of doing the needful, was to ask some more questions until you're really sure what he wants. But it wasn't necessary. Sometimes people, I know people who love to have meetings. I went to a management meeting in Zagreb and they wanted me to talk with them about management. And I said, well, the very first lesson I want to teach you is to avoid meetings as much as you can. Because they're a complete waste of time. Often. Finish your business over the telephone or memos or email. When you need a meeting, have a meeting.
to make sure there's an agenda and you stick to the starting time and the ending time. The GBC are very specific about that now. Unless there's like 3/4 or 4/5 of the body that say they want to extend the time of the meeting, it's over. 6 o'clock, the meeting's over. Oh, what's going on? We're almost finished. No, I'm going for my shower. I have a lecture to give this evening. It's over. So yeah, have a meeting, but have an agenda. Have someone who can keep people on the topic and then finish on time. When you don't need a meeting, don't have them just because every week we have a meeting. If you don't need a meeting this week, don't have a meeting this week. Get together and have kirtan. Use your intelligence. Use your intelligence. And that may involve, for some of us, to read books on how to do things. And they may be, you know, those dirty, meaty, filthy, carmy pigs. But you don't need to chant 128 rounds to be able to know how to take care of the car. So some people may need to read books on meetings or whatever. Not everybody. Try to be organized. Prabhupada wanted us to be well organized. Do the needful so that you spend the maximum amount of time glorifying Krishna and the minimum amount of time in preparation. Okay, I guess this is almost my last lecture here for maybe another. I just enjoy myself when I'm here so much. Anyway, maybe another year, I don't know. 10 months anyway. Yes, sir.
What means Mahabhagavat and how is this connected with Prabhupada if he is Mahabhagavat?
Well,
maybe you can relate it with other things you mentioned.
It takes one to know one, so it's not easy. But when many, many devotees together have a good idea that this person is very advanced, and many of his juniors and many of his peers, in other words, every one of Prabhupada's godbrothers recognize him as a powerful acharya. A number of them are envious of him. That's a separate issue, but they recognize he's the standard. He's the person to compete with. Everybody who is a practicing Vaishnava. In other words, there may be people who have fallen down and are not so reverential to Srila Prabhupada. Hey, Krishna was on this planet. Swayam Bhagavan. Yogeshwar, the master of all mystics, the origin of all creation. He was here. And maybe 100 people recognized him for what he was. So, it's not so easy, but when many people together understand that he's very exalted and he shows some symptoms. Generally, Vaishnavas are not into showing miracles or manifesting siddhis because that Jesus Christ did that and he found that people were just coming for the magic show. So he stopped doing it after some time. You know, he would heal people, and walked on water, and, you know, all kinds of wonderful stuff. But people were just, they weren't asking about intimate spiritual ideas. They just, you know, listen, I got a cousin who's got a broken leg and three eyes. Could you fix him up? You know? So the symptoms, there's two categories of symptoms. External, visible symptoms, and the internal mood. Now the external, visible symptoms may not differ that much from a Madhyamadhikari or middle class devotee. Both chant their rounds, both are enthusiastic for preaching, both follow sadhana, both do so many things. But the mood, the internal mood, that you can't see. So there's a big difference in mood. Krishna, when Prabhupada was saying that Radha and Krishna are dancing, he said that in Los Angeles and in some other place, and he said things about the deep. You know that he saw it. Just the way he said it, his conviction. And as I said, there were some things that he could do. He couldn't control himself, his emotions. On a couple of occasions, he lost his control. In Mayapur, once, a famous example, he was chanting, he was talking about the mercy of Lord Chaitanya and how he was so kind, and he got into it and then he just froze. And he had this 500, 1,000 devotees just sitting in the harbor. He couldn't move, he was frozen, he was gone. And after, you know, a few minutes, you know, just like a few minutes, that's a long time in front of a large number of people. And it was just, and Hansaduda started chanting. And Prabhupada went up to his room. So there were occasions like that, crying. Nobody was lying. They did happen, things did happen. But you couldn't alone, you know, add them up and say, look, here's, you know, 500 instances where he lifted a mountain or, you know, did something spectacular. I have faith that he was a Mahabharata. They do exist. They're described in scripture. They do exist. They're rare. We probably won't see one again for some time. But seeing him is not nearly as important as understanding the essence that he's giving and following him. Is that okay? Good. Get some more? Huh? What?
Say some more.
Huh? I'm sorry?
Say some more, please.
Oh, you want me to say some more? I'll say what Prabhupada said. Okay. We asked him about Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, and he said, what can I say? He was a Vaikuntha man. He was a Vaikuntha man. He was a Goloka man. Whatever he was the most beautiful, loving, kind, gentle person you ever hoped to be. Tamal Krishna Goswami. We all had this experience, but he really had this experience. Prabhupada chastised him many times for the mistakes that he made. You got to be careful when you're around big persons like Prabhupada, because his work is important, and if you make mistakes assisting him, your mistakes are going to be big mistakes. You know, if you're assisting the
you know, the temple floor cleaner and you make a mistake, you know, well, yeah, but, you know, you didn't get in the bucket and you didn't put clean fluid in the water and you put acid or something on the floor. Okay, it's a mistake, but it can be repaired. And maybe you'll notice it on the first tiles. And Tamal got chastised heavily. On occasion, Prabhupada's lips would quiver. He would yell at Tamal. Because Tamal was just a very strong person. He loved Prabhupada so much. But he was not a cowering person. He was not. He was a strong person. He requested Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, "You're sleeping, Prabhupada." "I don't think I was sleeping, Prabhupada." How many of us would say that? I remember once Prabhupada said to me, said, "Sridhar, sometimes you, what do you say, sometimes you cause misunderstandings, although you don't mean to." "I'm sorry, Srila Prabhupada. I'm not going to be understanding." That's it. No. The Tamal would have said, "I don't think I did that, Prabhupada. It's the other guy." But Prabhupada would chastise him. One time he made such a mistake that for 2 months, Prabhupada would call him in, like parade him in, like an army, you know, they parade you, come marching in, they would call him in. "You see this boy? He canceled the contract, he canceled the sales agreement, he has no brain." None of the big people did that again and again. But Tamal said, "I never felt that Prabhupada loved me any less. He always loved me, and I always felt that, and we all felt that. Even though he would chastise us, it was a pleasure to be chastised by him." Embarrassing. Hard to swallow. At least he took notice. And I always felt he really, he was giving his life. You'd agreed to join him, and he was trying to make you perfect so you could go back to God, and he never had any other moment with him. He didn't need you for anything. There were occasions where Prabhupada was ready to walk away. Really, that bear said, was ready to just walk away from his gun. He didn't need us. He just didn't need us. We needed him. So he had no motive. And he was brilliant. I saw him on numerous occasions handle people so deftly, with so much finesse, so brilliantly. He would defeat them. He would just cut them down to size. He'd come in with big, like the Lord Chaitanya, cut down Balava Bhatta, someone who says he has written a better commentary than Sridhar Swami, he's no better than a prostitute. Because only a prostitute will give up her Swami, maybe a husband is called. The wife's Swami, he's my Swami, my controller, whatever. Swami means one who controls his senses. He was just expert. Balava Bhatta came to him on many different occasions, trying to get his audience to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Previously, Mahaprabhu had gone to his house for lunch and everything. But now, here, Balava Bhatta was trying to present philosophy and be recognized. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu detected a little tinge of pride in him, maybe a big tinge. He just cut him down. So Prabhupada, he knew how to deal with people. And he said, I can do this, you cannot. He didn't say exactly, on some occasion he may have said it, but he was older, he was Indian, he was scholarly. An old man can get away with a lot of things, you know, like a grandfather that can say things, and old man is just, okay, grandpops, it's okay, you know. It's like Sally Agarwal said, I don't know if any of you saw Your Everwell Wish You. Any of you see that video, Your Everwell Wish You? How many saw it? Two of you. Huh? You see it? Why don't you put up your hand? I want to know. How many saw Your Ever Well Wisher? Not so many. Oh, it's the life story of Srila Prabhupada on video. And it starts with his activities in India, going to Motilal Seal School, Scottish Churches College, and then marrying Radharani Day, and then, you know, going to Vrindavan, meeting all Bhagavad Shastri, taking sannyas, going on the freighter. And when he gets to Pennsylvania, he stayed with this family, the Agarwals. It was an Indian man married to an American girl, white girl, and the Indian man was the son of a friend of Prabhupada's in Delhi, so he got a reference, which got him his entry into the country, and he went to stay with them. So she gave a talk about the few weeks that Prabhupada stayed with her, and she said, I never met anybody like that in my whole life. I think that I'd have to say he was the most wonderful person I ever met in my life. And his, when he would smile, it was just oceanic. And she said so many nice things about Prabhupada. I just thought, that woman's going back to Godhead just for that interview, just for her appreciation of Prabhupada. I don't care what she's doing now. Probably not a vegetarian. Probably doesn't follow the following of the principles. I don't care. She said such nice things about Prabhupada. And they were all true. So we all have our wives who are good devotees. We all have our friends who are good devotees. Our temple authorities. We have our spiritual masters, and we think they're kind of special. And all of that's true, and we should never neglect any of that. Any of our spiritual, I'm tempted to say, inspirators. I've learned lots of new words since I've been in Yugoslavia. But there's lots of people where we get inspiration in our Krishna consciousness. So many people. And all of them are important in our lives. But there's only one Srila Prabhupada. Okay. I'm real, real sorry that you didn't get a chance to shake his hand, personally touch him, or whatever. I wish you had. I really, really wish you had. But you didn't. And many people who were his personal servants and massaged him every day are no longer practicing Krishna consciousness. So it's not the be-all and the end-all. It's not everything, certainly. It's a long way from being everything. It makes it sweet if you're still reverential toward him, if you're still following him, then it's sweet to tell Prabhupada's stories. And everybody likes to hear it because, you know, it's better than hearing about Batman. I mean, it's, you know, it's, to hear about some hero, but our hero is so great. Our hero, he just overshadows all of these cartoons, you know? I don't mean just the animated cartoons. You know, Michael Jackson is a cartoon, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger, he's a Schwartz and he's a nigger. You know? They're all just different degrees of ordinary people who are screwed up like all the rest of us, and they have a little good karma. The Prabhupada's a Goloka man. He came from the spiritual world. He's a ray of Vishnu. He's our life and soul. Okay, I'm going to have to stop.